all about her, her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
Oh boy, I've got a wild topic for us today, and one I know all of you Her Radio listeners are going to just love to hear about. I'm talking about the relationship between your weight and your what? Your orgasm. I mean your sexual health. Well, listen, I'm here today to introduce a fabulous expert, Dr. Lauren Stryker, who is an associate clinical professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Northwestern University's Medical School, the Feinberg School of Medicine. And I wish Michelle was here with me today, but she's off doing amazing Empower Her things, so I'm going solo with you, Dr. Stryker. And your book is Love Sex Again, A Gynecologist Finally Fixes the Issues That Are Sabotaging Your Sex Life. Well, what is sabotaging our sex life? You say it's weight and maybe disease. Let's start with diabetes, for instance.
Well, you're exactly right. It's all the medical, physical, and hormonal problems that can get in the way of a satisfying sex life. And we all know there's a million books out there that talk about broken relationships. Well, my book talks about broken vaginas because no one's talking about these physical things. And while, yes, it's important to connect with your partner and to have date night and take a bubble bath and all that kind of stuff, the reality is if sex hurts or if you're not able to have an orgasm or if you have an obstacle that gets in the way. It might be diabetes. It might be heart disease. It might be cancer. It might be menopause. But no one is talking about the fixes for all of these problems that so many women encounter. So you brought up diabetes. Let's start with diabetes because
it's
such an enormous topic because there are so many women that are diabetic, and they might have the best endocrinologist in the world who helps them get their sugar in control and who talks about, you know, their diet and might be talking about maybe numbness in their feet or some of the other physical effects they have. But it's not that often that the diabetes doctor says, oh, and by the way, is sex comfortable? Can you have orgasms? And what we know is that just as diabetes can affect other parts of your body because it can compromise the blood flow or it can compromise the way your nerves are functioning, it can also impact on genital issues. For example, just like you can have numbness in your feet because of nerve damage, you can have clitoral nerve damage, which makes it really hard to have an orgasm.
And I'll bet most women out there have no clue. I bet they just don't know. You know, we've heard a lot in the news about the fact that men who have erectile dysfunction, for instance, many of them find out they actually have diabetes. And we kind of concentrate on the man end of this. But, you know, to hear you now say that you could have this issue with women's genitalia, I mean, that's just, you know, that's probably a mind blower for a lot of women out there.
It is, and just as you said, you know, with men, when someone comes to me and says, my husband has new onset erectile dysfunction, the first thing I say to her is, look, it's not because he doesn't find you attractive. He might have a vascular problem, so he needs to go to his doctor and make sure he doesn't have diabetes or heart disease. And the same is true for women. If suddenly, for no particular reason that's not otherwise explained, they're having problems having an orgasm or having vaginal dryness that isn't because of menopause, that's one of the things you have to look at because you need good blood supply to have a lubrication, to have the kind of response that of course every woman wants to have.
Well, you know, it's estimated that there are over 70 million people out there walking around with pre-diabetes who have no clue. Mm-hmm. And so I think that based upon what you just said, if a woman's really having issues with this, I think just like guys, the first thing that ought to happen is really a deep dive into whether or not she does have early onset diabetes before it really becomes more overt. Now, what if you're not diabetic and you're a woman, but you're overweight or obese? Is this going to impact upon her ability to have an orgasm and full sexual function?
Well, what's interesting about being obese is that in the absence of other problems, you know, no heart disease, no diabetes, nothing else going on, obesity in and of itself is not going to get in the way of a woman's ability to have an orgasm unless someone is so overweight that it becomes physically difficult for her to have clitoral stimulation. Because what we really appreciate that for most women, it's not vaginal intercourse that causes an orgasm to occur, it's that external clitoral stimulation. And so many women feel like there's something wrong with them if they're not having an orgasm during intercourse. And the big aha moment is, not only is there not something wrong with you, but you are normal, normal, normal. So for a lot of very obese women, they have to maybe find a new position that works for them. They might need to, if they're, you know, we always talk about partnered sex, and I'm very big on saying, hey, you know, a lot of women out there are self-sexual, let's not ignore them. And it may be that they need to use a vibrator that has a longer handle to get where they need to go, you know, and it's really just kind of working with whatever physical obstacles someone might have. And interestingly, women who are diabetic or who are obese have normal estrogen levels and normal testosterone levels, and in fact, sometimes even a little bit higher than the general population. So in some ways, overweight women are even more sexual and have more testosterone around. And very often, if someone's having problems, it's really more about body image. You know, I mean, let's think about it. Having sex does generally involve taking off your clothes. And if you're not feeling good about your body, you're going to go into avoidance mode.
Well, let's go to that low libido place then, since you brought it up, because it's very important. We're talking about sexual health. And so here's a woman, you know, she's basically transitioning, you know, through perimenopause, menopause, mm-hmm. all kinds of body, you know, image changes are taking place, as sure. I've always talked about, the body, you know, fat redistribution, and suddenly you've got that menopot happening, and right. all kinds of things going on.
It's a lovely time.
All right, so... Mm-hmm. Hello. And just name one nice thing about this, but we won't go there. and so we've got all kinds of things, maybe some medical conditions showing up,
That's
maybe
right.
some medication showing up, emotional issues. And so how do we start teasing apart the low libido issue?
Well, it's a very long list of things that can sabotage someone's libido. And libido actually is the number one sexual problem that women complain about. So my approach when I see someone is I really have to just hear someone's story. When did this start? What other things are going on? Because, yes, sometimes it is a relationship issue. Sometimes it is the monotony of monogamy. You know, it's not always all that interesting to have sex with the guy who's been in bed with you for 30 years, even if you really do like him. Sometimes it's pain, and women don't identify that. They'll come in and they'll say, I have no desire to have sex. And I'll say, well, when was the last time you had sex? Oh, about a year ago. How'd it go? Ooh, it really hurt. Well, then you're not going to want to do it again. So sometimes it's really just a matter of eliminating the pain, identifying if there is vaginal dryness and thinning of the tissue. Sometimes it is looking at relationship. You mentioned drugs. So important. So many women are on antidepressants or other medications that might mess with those really important neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin that we need to have an intact libido. And then hormones. You know, sure, during the menopause transition, we, you know, our estrogen tank is suddenly on empty, and testosterone, which is the other one that we need to have a decent libido, they take a dive. And I think we need to very carefully look at those things and address which of those factors are at play. And in
well,
many
here's
cases,
another
of course,
one.
It's a lot of factors.
Well, wait a minute now. Here's another one, and it's stress. And you brought this up because stress mm-hmm. is sort of running through the entire thing. You know, I want everyone out there to make sure to grab this book. It's called Love, Sex Again, A Gynecologist Finally Fixes the Issues That Are Sabotaging Your Sex Life. And our fabulous expert here is Dr. Lauren Stryker, who is Associate Clinical Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Northwestern University. I'm Dr. Pamela Peek. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You're listening to Her Radio. Stay well.